Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome to our final section here on a special Christmas Eve show. A really unique guest, Audrey Landers. Welcome to the show, Audrey.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
You bet. Well, let me offer a brief introduction. Audrey is actually a multifaceted individual. In fact, I'm going to call her our Renaissance lady. She's always ready to explore her many talents. Audrey is an accomplished actor, singer, writer, composer, producer, and also a fashion designer. In fact, her clothing line, which made it its Europe debut in 2008, premiered in the U.S. to a sold-out launch on the shop NBC in the fall of 2009. Now, many of us, of course, are going to know Miss Landers as probably best known for her portrayal of Afton Cooper in the world hit television series Dallas, in which actually she co-authored for 8 years and was involved in many of the songs that she sang in the role that she played there. And for her background, in fact, that Audrey, she majored in psychology at Columbia University and studied music theory at Juilliard School of Music, all while starring in a daytime drama. So her career spans everything from early experiences, her first hit record at age 13, going on to a daytime drama, which she started college at age 16. And then by 18, the press was referring to as a veteran actress, Audrey Landers. And even one of the quotes I picked up, Audrey, you said that might have been cool now, but you prefer not to know that the age thing is out there, right?
That's true. It's so funny because, you know, when you look at, you know, all the experiences that I've had and the shows that I've done and so forth, all of a sudden you're looking at it and you say, oh my God, you must be 150, you know?
That's right. And then when you realize, of course, that that really you almost feel on a day-to-day basis you've barely started.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, when you, every day I wake up and there's something new and there's something exciting and there's a new project to start on, or, you know, it never ends. And I think that is definitely a blessing to have that curiosity and hopefully the talent and the drive to follow through on it. But also it puts a damper on your life in that, when do you stop?
Exactly, you know? And how do you get a rest and a break from all? Well, the one thing I didn't mention in my introduction of Audrey is, in addition to all the work she's done here in the United States, that actually I think your persona and people recognizing you may be more in Europe, particularly in your music career. So tell us about that move from U.S. Hollywood television to indeed launching in the whole musical arena, Audrey.
Well, you know, it wasn't really that much of a, it wasn't a separation of careers. I think the difference occurred in that, in the United States, especially in the 80s, to be on television kind of precluded one from having a recording career, whereas in today's world, that's completely the opposite. They understand the impact of how the two mediums feed on each other. And in Europe in those days, they kind of got that. So with the success of Dallas being worldwide and my character being a singer on Dallas, mm-hmm. for the European market, it was just so natural for me to start releasing records there, you know. And so I did. And so certainly the Dallas the fame helped the recording industry, helped my career in the record industry, and it's been an ongoing thing. I've been doing it for several decades now, and this wonderful experience that I've had, I've been able to give to my son Daniel Landers, who I think you'll be talking with.
Exactly,
maybe next
we're going to talk to him next week.
Yeah, and so his recording career is, you know, taking off like wildfire as well. So he's kind of following in my footsteps and at about the same age.
That's fun. Well, you raise a really interesting point, too, this the idea of identity, at how much many times our work defines us. And if we want to have an identity beyond that, or in your case, in multiple identities, it may or may not work depending on where the culture is that you are.
And that's true. And, you know, and especially being on television, the shows that you do certainly do define your character to a degree. And people sometimes get those personas confused.
Oh, yeah.
But that's one thing that I haven't had a whole lot of problem with, because I really played a lot of different roles, as, you know, obviously also in acting, but also in the different aspects of my career, whereas, you know, as not just in front of the camera, but, you know, as a writer and a music composer and, you know, all those other areas.
And so I was going to ask you, the whole aspect of you're turning your energies into writing and composing, not just performing in the musical sense, but then also this passion you had, I believe it was partnered with your mother, in doing the television series for children. Tell us about that piece of your story.
Oh, well, you know, the Hugbug Club was definitely a labor of love for us.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, who is amazing and dynamic and my role model, and she managed my career, and she's my business partner in many businesses that we have together, and so we have a great partnership, and she's the most dynamic person you could imagine. Hard footsteps to follow in, for sure. The Hugabug Club, you know, we were all sitting around. I guess it happened when my nieces were very little. And we were watching the standard kids' TV shows, and we looked at one another, my mom and I, and said, you know what? If I have to watch this same junk again, and, you know, and I said, you know, Mom, we can do this better. And so I really researched it tremendously with the psychology background, helping a little bit as to what kinds of stimuli children respond to most, whether it through music, obviously, is one of the greatest learning tools for a child. Who doesn't remember the first little patty cake song we learned?
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I mean, to learn through music and rhythm is a no-brainer, you know. And then I went and researched all the different colors and which colors the kids responded to. And so we went about and created the show with that as the basis and created the characters. And I wrote and co-wrote 250 songs in the TV series. My mom donated the show to public television because she just wanted it to be accessible to as many children as possible.
Well, Audrey, you know, writing one song in and of itself is a tremendous accomplishment, but 250, I mean, do you, that whole process of them welling out of your soul, obviously, but, you know, do you know where this comes from? Have you ever, although this is something you just don't question, it just flows?
Yeah, I mean, I started writing music. I started writing poetry, I guess, as in elementary school. And I wrote my first songs at age like 12 and 13. And it just, it was a great creative outlet. And whether the inspiration came from me, which it most of the time did not, at the younger ages, it came from things I read or people I knew, stories in the news, and I was able to put myself in their shoes and write a song from that person's perspective.
And so, you know, 50 half-an-hour series later, there you have created, indeed, a sustainable piece of work. It's just a beautiful story. So now tell me, the sitting around with Mom, and I believe it was also your sister, saying, we could do something better than that. Was it a similar process that led then you and your mom to say, it's time to launch a fashion line, or where did that come from?
The fashion line came about, you know, throughout my career. Well, let's back up. Everybody knows how visual this part of the career is and how your appearance is so much a part of it. So throughout my career and in all the different projects I have done, ranging from, you know, the TV series, sure, even Dallas. And, of course, I had a Vegas act. And so we worked very, very closely with top designers all over the world, whether it was obviously in Hollywood, but in Paris and Milan and Italy. In Milan, I said that already. you know, we really had the benefit of working with top designers in the world, and we learned a lot of tricks and secrets to what we call glamouflage.
Glamouflage, that's clever. I like that, glamouflage.
And so what we would do is, and no matter who the costumer was or what I was wearing, my mom would be very much involved, and she would say, you know, this is great, but let's try this little tuck here or this hem here or ruffle here or whatever it was, just to add those touches that would, you know, make it that much more stellar. And so we just decided that it was time now that since... you know, a lot of our fans, my fans over the years, had asked about the clothing and all that. We decided to come up with a line of affordable, glamorous fashion for women of all ages. And that's how the Landers Star Collection began.
And so this was launched in 2008. So here we are three years later. And now you chose to launch in Europe first, right?
We did. We first launched on Home Shopping Europe. Mm-hmm. And... because we really, we had a great audience there, and we knew we had a great design team. And from the success of that, we decided we would reach out to the United States. And for a year or so, we were here on Shop NBC. And this past year, when we chose to expand and go to the UK, we're now on QVC in the UK, and we go to London several times a year to do the on-air shows, my mom and I. Uh-huh. We are now pursuing other networks in the States and in Canada and Italy and the Netherlands. And so, you know, we're hoping that it'll branch out even more.
Well, you know, what a fun way for mother and daughter to stay connected. You know, would you have ever thought... You know, I've got to ask that question. In fact, you know, you talked about the closeness with you and your mom. So did you ever not go through those teen years of rebellion or wanting to be different or anything like that? Or have the two of you been such lifelong best friends?
We have been lifelong best
friends. Isn't that blessed? Yeah.
The teen rebellion, there was never time for that. First of all, my mom was basically a single mom raising us, my sister and me, and she had to work really, really hard in her business. And then, of course, when I had my aspirations in show business, I don't know how she managed to find the time for me to support me in my career and manage me and guide me, you know, because her business was the bread and butter of our family. The show business was the fluff, and it remains so to this day.
Okay.
And so the rebellion, no, we didn't have that. We were just partners forever. We were kind of us against the world.
Oh, don't you know that? Now, but at any point in time, I mean, to have, you know, really fallen into the Hollywood and the television area at such a young age, you know, tell me, did you have a childhood at all? Or was that childhood for you?
Well, I had a great childhood. Uh-huh. I loved my childhood. And if I hadn't been able to do the things that I did in pursuing my craft, right, and my career, I probably would have been miserable. So for me, it was the perfect childhood. It was exactly what I wanted to be doing. I was driven. I knew what I wanted. I had this creative need. Yeah. And I was fortunate to have had the ability to pursue it. You know, if someone had said to me, you have to wait till you're 21, I don't know what would have happened to me.
That's right. That's just like saying exactly the same of, well, you can't do that. You didn't grow up in the, you know, the television show creation mode. Or, you know, for you and your mom, Audrey, to create a fashion line when you didn't, quote, grow up in fashion. But in some regards, you did, because you did it your own way at your own pace.
Right.
The QVC and the on-air activity, of course, I imagine then that really your show business just comes through just naturally. It must feel like you're not doing this with ease and grace and really not having to work, even though it's hard work.
Well, you know, there is a difference, though. I mean, when you're on a show, you know, as an actor, mm-hmm. you're portraying another character. So that's one type of performance. When I'm singing, that's a different kind of piece of my soul coming out to the audience. When I'm doing something like QVC, you know, there's a lot of information that you want to be able to tell your customers. So it's not just going out there and, you know, doing a talk show and talking
right.
fluff. I mean, every moment is calculated when you're out there and not by me or my mom. I mean, it's a really specific science that these networks have worked out. Like, they'll say, okay, you have 4 minutes on this particular item, you know. So it's very scientific in their own way. And so you have to be knowledgeable, and it always helps when you're the designer of the collection, so you really do have a good basis for reaching out to your customers.
Isn't that right? The type of customers that you have now connected with in Europe, are they different than the ones you've been cultivating here in the States, or is this kind of a even playing field or common interest across the world for women?
I think it's definitely a common interest across the world. I mean, what woman doesn't want to look glamorous and feel comfortable in the clothes she's wearing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, everyone wants to look elegant and beautiful and feel their best and look their best. And so that's really, I mean, we have, our motto is that every woman is a star and she deserves to shine. And that's what we bring into our collection.
That's right. Take us back to that time when the Dallas show was in full motion. Of course, it's very funny here at the studio. I've been mentioning to my colleagues here that I was going to get the chance to interview you and meet you, and they kind of look at me with this perplexed look of, Dallas, what was that? So obviously this is a younger crowd here, of course, but, you know, I remember every Saturday night being glued to the TV when I was in that time zone and so on. And
oh, yeah.
That was such a punctuating role for any of the actors and actresses, and actually to be together as a community for that many years, what a unique opportunity.
Well, it was an amazing experience. And I think also it was defining the era. That show really did define the 80s,
yeah,
especially.
It did.
I mean, it was all through the 80s and, of course, into the beginning of the 90s. But for the bulk of the time that I was there, actually for all the years that I was on the show, as a regular, the first 4 years, then I left to do the movie Chorus Line and then came back over the next year. So mm-hmm. I was there a total of 8 years. But we were the number one show in over 100 countries around the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so the enormity of that is hard to grasp. And the fan base was immense and loyal. I mean, we took the soap opera formula of whereby the viewers get to know the characters.
Yes, yes.
And so everybody felt like they knew the Ewings. They knew all the other characters. And, you know, they felt a part of their lives. And that continuing thing really helped it a lot. And I think that it really did, just the glamour and the styles and the whole feeling of Dallas really did define that era. And we're coming back. You know,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
There's a new TV show of Dallas series that will be premiering on TNT starting in June.
And so, you're going to be part of the cast?
Well, my lips are sealed at the moment.
Okay.
Very,
the mere fact you know about
closed.
That.
But I do think there will be a surprise cliffhanger at the end of the season.
As only the show Dallas could pull off. Well, I think you're right, though, to see then the ripple effect for those of you that were part of that community for that many years, to see them when your various careers took you, but yet then circled you back.
It is great. And, you know, it's really nice. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, somebody sent me a Twitter message and said to me, you should see this new Facebook site that's out, Facebook page that's out. So I checked it out, and it's Bring Audrey Landers Back to Dallas. And, like, as soon as it came out, we had, you know, 6,000 or 10,000 hits, and it was just so nice to see it, you know, because certainly it's not been publicized anywhere. And So there's a, if anybody's listening, please like the page.
Well, and you know, that's as well, if you look at how your career has evolved over the years, Audrey, that it is also in the background is all these technology changes. Because I'm sure when you were doing the, you know, production in the featuring in those early soap operas up into Dallas, up into the things you've done more currently, just as much as that's changed, then your own involvement with writing, directing, producing music. But still back to the core, though, is creativity and talent and artistry. So I found it interesting your comment about how even you circled back to your own psychology training to help fuel the direction you took the Hug-A-Bug Club.
Yeah, it really, you know, it's funny, but at the time you're doing things in life, you don't realize that where and when it will be useful and have an impact.
Yes.
And it really does.
Well, particularly when you also said, like we said earlier, that your son Daniel now is picking up and taking off in a direction, and who knows where he's going to head with his own artistic career. But again, would you have ever thought that you were simultaneously planting those seeds for your child as a legacy?
You know, you never think of that as on a conscious level, but now that, I mean, Daniel started when he was 9. I mean, it's something that you're born with. You know what you want to do in life. And you had asked me the question earlier, did it, you know, pursuing a career in acting. I mean, I started as a child doing local theater and all those things. Did that take away my childhood? Well, obviously not for me. And I look at Daniel, and I know that if I had not been able to support him and given him the opportunity to express himself creatively, he would have been a very unhappy child. So for him, it's kind of been the same thing. And, you know, he's a twin. Daniel has a twin brother who has completely different interests. And, you know, the show business thing was not in Adam's DNA, but definitely in Daniel's. And so, I mean, he and I did our first duet together when he was only 9 years old. We toured, did concerts in Europe. It became a hit in many languages, and it was kind of his beginning in the in the professional music world. So now that he's just turned 18, I mean, he's been doing this half his life.
Yeah, I put that in perspective. Isn't that true? And so I would almost ask you, so we've got now your endeavors in television, in film, in onstage production and performance, in writing, authoring, then also your fashion design. So, you know, what's next?
What's next? My goodness. Well, at the moment, I'm really, really obsessed with my son's career.
That's good.
And I have to say that because it's just, you know, it's really inspirational to see his creativity. And it all, as great as I, you know, as wonderful as I think he is, as a mother always does, from a professional standpoint, to have watched him grow and change and develop, and he's just an amazing composer and writer, even at his young age. And he'll say to me, Mom, I want you to listen to this and tell me what can I do to change this or that. And at this point, I'm hesitant to make a suggestion because he's so incredible. I don't want to change a thing.
Don't you love that? And that's also to let him explore and go to that frontier in a new way. Well, Audrey Landers, congratulations on all your endeavors. We're going to continue to watch you progress. How could our listeners then take advantage and see some of this wonderful star collection?
Okay, well, they can definitely see, they can check out my website.
Sure.
Which is AudreyLanders.com.
Exactly. Wonderful. Well, the happiest of holidays to you. Thanks for sharing these words of inspiration. And we'll keep tuned for what that new television show and cliffhanger might be then.
Absolutely.
All right. Happiest holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, too.
Thank you very much.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580. 844-2580.
Subscribers access to the direct links.